Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from the very edge of our rainy season in Vancouver. It's gotten quite dark and wet, but a sign of things to come, undoubtedly. Focusing today on what's the next in our line of state of the science issues that many of you will know are our flagship issue every year, where we try in January to bring together a good number of scholarly individuals to write on some theme or another and try to provide an overview of the state of the science in our field of health professional education. This coming January 2018 is the 30th anniversary of something known as the Edinburgh Declaration, which many of you will and some of you won't know is a document that was put together on a worldwide level 30 years ago. And so 2018 being the 30th anniversary of that, we thought a retrospective on the recommendations that came out of that report might be appropriate to see where things have moved. Today, I'm going to be speaking with the first author of the paper that was commissioned around the second recommendation, which is that in medical education, we should ensure that curriculum content reflects national health priorities and the availability of affordable resources. To do that, we have the good fortune of having Manisha Nair and her colleague Gracia Falmouth write a paper that is entitled Current Efforts in Medical Education to Incorporate National Health Priorities. And Manisha is a researcher in global maternal and perinatal health at the University of Oxford, with much of that work being conducted in India. Thank you, Manisha, first of all, for taking the time to chat.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is a large undertaking to think about efforts in medical education to incorporate national health priorities, if for no other reason than that the national health priorities, almost by definition, are somewhat local compared to this global field that has evolved over the past many decades. Do you mind sharing with our listeners how you even began to approach such a big topic for a single article?
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing up that question. So yes, indeed, and it was extremely complex. And as I mentioned, when I was going through the paper today, I realized that it was really very complicated, and to have narrowed it down to three themes and then looking at issues within that was quite complicated. As you mentioned, I worked with my colleague Gracia. So when we were given this topic and I was looking at it and I was thinking national health priorities, that seems to vary so much from country to country. And just picking up one may not be fair and generalizable. So what we did, and after reading a lot of paper and looking at the Edinburgh Declaration, as well as there was a report by a commission on health professionals education that was published on the 100th anniversary of the 1910 Flexner report. So we looked at both of these, and then we came up with these three key priority areas in health needs. And one was health equity, second is health system strengthening, and the third priority we thought would be changing patterns of disease. So once we identified the priorities, and then as we have mentioned in the limitation section, no way that we are suggesting that this is generalizable, but these are the broad themes and these are cross-cutting and it comes up often and in many papers. So this is what we focused on. And then the next step was to then conduct a literature review. There was another challenge here, because what do we do? How do we go about looking for papers, and especially papers looking at challenges in medical education in each of these themes? So we decided we should adopt a rather pragmatic approach and do targeted search to broadly sample and critically review the literature. And we did that in two phases. So the first phase was that within each theme, we looked at the current challenges in the field of medical education and what has been done to meet the specific health priority that we were able to select. And then in the second phase, we wanted to know that what efforts have been made in the field of medical education, both in undergraduate and postgraduate teaching and learning, to address these challenges. And once we did that, we were able to do a qualitative synthesis of the literature within each phase and then mapped both the phases. So there were challenges on one hand and then the efforts on the other hand, then ultimately able to put in a short discussion.
And again, each one of the themes, as you've labeled them, is massive unto itself. And
it's massive, yes.
And even knowing how to search for one of these particular themes for undergraduate or postgraduate education specifically, I imagine, created some dilemmas or challenges. And
Yes.
how did you try to focus in on the key papers that you needed, knowing full well that you couldn't have made this a comprehensive review?
No, no, absolutely. So what we did, and once we had the themes, we used very broad keywords. So we did use search engines and we used databases like Medline, Scopus. And then we thought that we should reinforce this Medline and Scopus with Google Scholar, because you would find sometimes things that are published in Google Scholar that are not really elsewhere. So this was just a reinforcement of our searches. So these are very, very broad terms. Like, for example, in the first search, we just put in health equity, health systems, disease burden, disease epidemiology, epidemiological transition, challenges, and medical education. That's all we did. And then we looked at what came up. And then we saw, okay, it did give us something, and we started reading. And those papers actually gave us lead to other words that we could then use. So there were a second phase of search with, again, targeted words like curriculum, teaching, medical technology, global health, assessment, feedback. And I think it was like a snowballing approach, finding papers, reading it, those giving out more keywords, and then again using them to search further.
It's a nice example of the iterative nature and how one can build some understanding and some scholarly synthesis without having a single simple search term that you could feel 100% confident in.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Well, out of that effort, again, it's a remarkable amount of effort. You highlighted six important challenges, and we won't have time to go through all six of them, obviously, but I wonder, just the last question on the methodological side of things. What was it that enabled you to feel like the literature you were uncovering really boiled down to these six key challenges?
So what was happening is that you could find a lot of challenges. For example, if you look at health equity and the papers related to health equity, there'll be massive literature about what is health equity, what is happening, why there is inequity, and what is happening. But what was missing was the link between that and medical education. So we could read out a lot of papers that spoke about health inequity or equity or health systems, but did not have any connection with medical education. Then the whole thing became really smaller. And then once we found the papers that linked both the health priorities and the medical education and the challenges in it, we could then list out the challenges. And some of them were overlapping, like when we grouped them into health systems challenges. For example, there is this challenge on teaching on health system science. So it came up using different phrases. Some people spoke more about systems and health challenges. Some spoke about health technology assessment. In some literature, it was more about developing leadership skills and managers and training, because doctors are not generally managers who can manage health systems. So what we thought that we could then synthesize all of this into making one key challenge. So that was the lack of a universal approach in preparing medical students for the 21st century health systems. Mm-hmm. So it was not that one paper, it was a number of papers which we then synthesized to come up with one challenge.
Right. And again, we won't have time to go through all six challenges. Why don't I put it to you to choose, as a start, the one that you found most interesting or that you think we have the most opportunity to continue to do better with?
Yeah, I think I'm most intrigued by two challenges rather, but I'll of course talk about one. One is the health system strengthening. That's something because, as I said, and it's also based on my own experience of being trained in India, so where I'm trained as a medical doctor, and especially in emerging market economies, and that fascinates me a lot, that we don't really train ourselves in learning a lot about the health systems, the communication part of it, the managing, and how to lead a system. All that we are taught is the science of it, being experts, being specialists in very siloed environments. So I have always strongly believed that we need to work across disciplines, and that also leads to my most favorite among all the challenges. I shouldn't say favorite, but yes, something that really...
Understood.
yeah, this is something that really is very close to me, and that is the global challenge, that making health education more in line with the global challenges so that we train doctors who can work across countries, across disciplines, and not just be confined to what they are known as experts in their areas, in their own country. So I think the last challenge, changing patterns of disease, is something that I would say is very important, not just because of the growing epidemics of non-communicable diseases requiring us to be experts in multiple medical morbidities, and therefore cutting across disciplines, having the ability to communicate, but also because the world is becoming really smaller. And as we've written in the paper, that an epidemic in one country, it does not know national borders. People are moving, and as such, the epidemics are moving and moving across countries. And a good example is Ebola and Zika virus outbreaks. So if we as students, and if medical students, undergraduate and postgraduates, don't have the opportunity to go out and train themselves or have experience in working in global environments, and vice versa, if a low middle income country student doesn't have an opportunity to come and work in a developed country, we are missing on something. We are not global professionals. There is a need that we as medical professionals become more global in our outlook, be prepared to deal with things locally while having a broader global perspective.
Well, actually, I'm very glad that you chose that one to highlight because I think it's worth reinforcing that you set out to summarize the current efforts in incorporating national health priorities, and then that led to this perspective of global interdependence. And
Yes.
we tend to think of national versus global as a dichotomy, inward looking versus outward looking. And I think what I'm learning from you is that looking outward to the global issues isn't a priority even in the local nations.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the mistake that we all make. And again, when we have then outbreaks of Zika and Ebola in countries where you don't expect, that's when the problem starts. You don't know how to manage it. You don't know what to do with that. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for a global nation. Like, I think the world's become too small for us to think that we can do what we want to do and we will never have diseases that affect other countries. I think, although it's national health priorities, as you say, it's important to have a global focus.
I started this conversation by saying that this paper is being presented in the context of a 30-year retrospective on the Edinburgh Declaration, and I don't think anybody who put together that declaration would have assumed that the recommendations could be 100% fulfilled or that we would solve all challenges in health professional education because it's inevitable that they'll continue to exist. But with that in mind, as you think about where we've moved over the last 30 years and where we might be moving over the next 30, did this effort give you any insights into educational models that might be particularly effective or how we can continue to evolve with respect to incorporating national health priorities?
Yeah, I think particularly there's one problem, I think, and if we are able to tackle this problem, and that is the problem of being dynamic. So in medical education, there is a lack of a dynamic nature of first developing a curriculum, implementing an evaluation, and then revising it. So it's not a dynamic process. Some of these curricula are really, really old, and I'm not again generalizing. There are countries where this process is rigorous. But in general, if we can all make an effort to see how the needs change, because the declaration that came up was in response to health needs, and the health needs will change. This will, today is global health system strengthening, tomorrow there'll be something else. But if we can make an effort and not become too concentrated and very rigid that we are not going to change our curriculum just because our medical education or our medical school is the best and there is nothing that we need to change to make it better. But if we can all make an effort to invest in research and evaluation. And this is not just for the medical school or not just for the curriculum in one medical school. It also creates an evidence base. I really struggle to find papers in certain topics like health technology assessment, and we've discussed this in this paper, that there is a lack of evaluation. People are talking about curriculum and what can be done, but there is no study that is evaluating it, and if there is no evidence, it becomes really difficult for countries or for medical schools to adapt something or adopt something. We need to put out more evidence. We need to put out what lessons we've learned. Did we succeed? Did we fail? What were the barriers? What were the facilitators? So I think this is what we need to do, and we need to do it constantly and be more dynamic.
It's a good reminder that we as institutions are in many ways responsible for trying to fulfill the competencies or roles that we expect of the individual practitioners that we're training, and thinking about, you know, our role in terms of advocacy and support of health system and healthcare as a whole. So that's a great note to end on, I think, as you provided that reminder. So I'll just at this point remind our listeners that I've been speaking with Manisha Nair about a paper entitled Current Efforts in Medical Education to Incorporate National Health Priorities. That can be found in the January 2018 State of the Science issue. Thank you, Manisha, for taking on the challenge of writing this. And I know you've pushed yourself well beyond the boundaries of your own personal research interests, but I think you've done a nice service for the health professional education community by producing this.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Thanks a lot.